Spirit, eternal Father, we thank you this morning once again for sparing our lives to see this beautiful Sunday morning. Lord, we are grateful for your cares since the beginning of the month. We appreciate you today, next at the second Sunday of the month of February. Your grace that started with us has continued. We bring all our praises and adoration to your name this morning, for you have done wondrous and wonderful things. We thank you. Thank you for your cares daily, your watchful eyes, gentle mercies, your healing hands, your salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to thank you for the deliverance you are working in the lives of your people. Thank you for your guidance and leadership answers to our prayers, the proof of your presence in our lives, in our midst. We are grateful to you. Thank you for this holy oracle that you have preserved for us, Lord Jesus, having been given by divine inspiration through your servant, William Miriam Braham, and you have seen to it that this holy oracle was preserved for the bride will have need of it at the end time. We are grateful that this is available in various forms, Lord, very easy for us to access. We thank you for the people you raised up to sponsor the publication, the printing, the internet, and everything. And it's a proof that it is your program, the working of your kingdom. We are very grateful. We pray, Lord, that with all these things that you have done, O Lord, we don't have any excuse not to avail ourselves of necessary things, the needful. Heavenly Father, help us as we present again ourselves before you as needy people. You are the only helper that we have. Except to help us, we'll just be leper that keeps licking a spot. The prophet said to keep shining. Help us, Father, you have the power of transformation, the power that can transform a sinner to saint, that can make a weak body to be active and quickened by the power of your healing and spirit. You are the Almighty. There's nothing impossible for you to do. Lord, you are the one that brings death to life. Oh, we are grateful that you are our Father. We come before you, the author of life, the owner of the universe, the one that dictates what happens. We come before you. We ask you, Lord, to take preeminence of our lives. Be gracious to us today, Lord. If there be anyone that has not found his way to this holiest of holy, Lord, may the eyes be open today, because the door is open. That place is free. You are sending sons and daughters into that place. Lord Jesus, may it be very simple for your people today, O gracious Lord, by the power of your revelation, to usher them into that holy place. Thank you, eternal Father. Every need of ours, we know you are more than able to supply. We pray for what is required of us to be partakers of the blessings to be released unto us, Lord. We surrender ourselves to you this morning and the entire services of the day, that the Holy Spirit will take preeminence. At the end, the blessing will be ours and all glory will be yours. For we ask in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. God bless you. Let's open our Bible to Revelation chapter 21. As we continue with the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the heavenly bride. We read from verse 1 to the end. As usual, after verse 15, you can see that. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem,
coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and war-mongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which are the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear and crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east gates, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the law. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pairs, every separate gate was of one pair. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb had the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. We continue with the main topic, which is the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the heavenly bride. Last Sunday, we were looking at an aspect so that we could have more understanding of what the prophet taught us in this sermon, this future of Rome. It's a wonderful city that there's no amount of the teaching that is given here that can give us the full comprehension of what that place looks like. Even the word the prophet spoke about it, he only spoke very little about it, of the glory that is there. And we are grateful to God that God delights in us, and that's why he sends a message to us to prepare us for that place. Praise be to God. So this morning, by the grace of God, I will just read a little review from last Sunday when we're looking at where the city we are set on when descending from heaven. We talked about that. So let me read a little part of that, and then we'll move on to what we have this morning, trusting that we'll be able to manage our time. And then we continue from there. Paragraph 449, the future of Rome. The prophet said, now have you got the city? See, it is a holy mountain. Rabram illustrates at the blackboard. Nothing shall hurt or destroy nor my holy mountain, says the Lord. The city is not a cube, it is a mountain. And the width by the breadth, by the height are equal. See, 1500 miles this way, 1500 miles that way, 1500 miles all the way around, and 1500 miles that. So it's just a great mountain like the pyramid. And the city is on the mountain. Glory. From the question and answer, preaching Exodus 64, August 24, E. Question and answer, 64, 08, 23, E. Paragraph 2, 4, 5. The prophet says, and remember, God the creator that created the heavens and the earth is in glory right now, preparing that city. Abraham looked for it. He left his home. He separated everything that was dear to him and looking for that city. Why? He was a prophet. Being a prophet, he was connected with the Spirit and part of the Spirit. And something told him within him, there is a city. And he started looking for it. He said, I am a pilgrim, a stranger. I am looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. He knew that city was somewhere. Oh, my. And I believe that right on the grounds where I look for it, right there in Palestine, there's where it will rest up. For it is on Mount Zion. There is where she will be. Look, where she will stretch out into the sea from sea to sea. Think of that 1500-mile city setting out there on the mountain of the Lord. Oh, that will be wonderful. Isn't it? If Abraham saw that city, not by human theology. He saw that city by revelation. And the revelation of that city, the reality of that city, drove him. He was so interested in that city. Comparing that city with where he lived. Comparing that city with every city he had been to. There was no city like it. He was attracted to that city.
because he was part of that city. And he separated himself from everything that was dear to him that would be a blockade from him. He separated himself, and that was why he called himself a pilgrim. A pilgrim and a stranger. Who is a pilgrim? He's a man that is in a journey. He has no place of settlement until he arrived at his destination. He claims himself to be a stranger. A stranger has no hold on anything. This world is not my home. I am just passing through. Trials are laid hot. Somewhere beyond the blue, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at all in this world anymore. That was the song of Abraham. He cut himself as a stranger. He has nothing that will hold him down here. When you are a stranger, you don't have a permanent place. A stranger and a pilgrim. Why was it so? Let's open our Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11, we start reading from verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Permit me to read the Yoruba version of it. Ǹjẹ́ ìgbàgbọ́ ni ìdánilójú ohun tí a ń retí? Ìdánilójú, substance. Ìdánilójú, substance of things hoped for, tí a ń retí? The evidence of things not seen. Ijeri onti akuri. And the prophet preached series of sermons looking at the unseen. Looking at the unseen. Well, it sounds contradictory. It sounds contradictory. Looking at the unseen. We will onti akuri. In other words, you are looking at something that cannot be seen. Looking at the unseen, things that cannot be seen. Is that not? In other words, if you are going to look at it, it will not be with the physical eyes. It will be with another eye. Now, coming back to this, Abraham saw this city. How? It was not yet written. Bible has not yet been written. And that's why the Bible told us that the beginning of righteousness is God revealed truth. And that was why Abraham and every saint of old followed God. Only by that revelation. Abraham told us that Abel could not have been able to offer a better sacrifice than Cain, except it was revealed to him. The prophet said because the Bible was not yet in existence, in physical reading. The Bible is in existence because God is the Word. You should understand what I'm trying to say. That the Bible was not in this form, that they could read, that Cain could read, and that Abel could read from. It's not been written. Men have not been commissioned to pen it down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But God personally will visit his people and give them that vision of what he wanted them to see. And it is that drives every son and daughter of God. Abraham, nobody encouraged him. Nobody kept telling him, move on.
do this. He had the propeller. He had the drive. And that was the revelation that made him to be looking for that. Now, that was in Genesis. And then we now have the information that the first class is in Revelation. We now have the details about the first class that Abraham saw in Genesis. The very city that he was looking for. That made him to leave his father's house and forsook every other thing that was there to separate himself. I was walking as a stranger and as a pilgrim. Here we are. It takes nothing but revelation. And it is God that makes it known to the people. It is not intellectual understanding. We can have understanding. This Bible, we can understand intellectually. We can quote it. We can preach it. But without revelation, we cannot live it. And when we can preach it, when we can preach it, we can talk about it, and we cannot live it, then we are intellectual professors. We are professors. We are not professors. It is revelation of this world that makes you to be part of this world that makes the world live out itself in you. It's revelation. It's not theology. It's not understanding. It's not by virtue of being able to read or whatever. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that city, the prophet said, was not here on the earth. It was shown to Abraham exactly what John saw that we are now having here. What made it? That city has not yet been built. Because in John chapter 14, Jesus Christ told them that believe in God, believe also in me. That in my father's house there are many mansions. I go to do what? Prepare a place for you. And the prophet said that God is working on it. The first cross is a place that God has prepared for his own. Let's come to verse 8 of that Hebrews chapter 1. Let's look at a few things about a set of people here. Because the prophet made mention of it. Abraham separated himself everything that was dear to him and looked for it. Everything that was there that would be an entrance on his way. Everything that he was sold into that would be an entrance that would not allow him to get into that city. He threw them off. He separated himself from it. A man today will hold on to the things of the world. And will be persuaded, will remain unpersuaded. Because he hasn't caught that vision. And I want to tell you that that is the propeller. That what propels, that what drives you. When you catch that vision, when that city is revealed to you. Now, if you have, as many as have read that sermon or you have listened to it, you will see when the prophet was sending the sermon. You will see the prophet's attitude himself. At a point, he broke down crying. Well, you might say that's common to the prophet, but you know, sometimes when he sees certain things, and he made a statement that he longs to be in that city. That if that city is not true, he did then that he has wasted his life. Because some people will be there. It's a promise of God, it can never fail. It cannot fail. The prophet said, God's kingdom is going to come. He said, whether you are part of it or not, that's what I don't know. He said, but for that kingdom coming, he said, it's going to come, it's going to be here. He said, whether you are a part of it or not, that's what he doesn't know. He said, but as for that kingdom, he's sure. He's sure to be here. From verse 6, let us read. By faith, we have read in verse 1 that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. What did he say for that? not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know. He was just go to places in Genesis chapter 12. You go back to read where God called him. Exactly what God told him, the city I will show you. Go to the place that I will show you. Let's read. Let's Genesis chapter 12. So that we blend this together. If you can be fast to give it to us.
I don't think I can get it faster than you.
All right. And the Lord God has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy city, thy country, and from thy kingdom, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. It's not a place that you already knew. He has to depend upon God every step of the way. God will have to tell him you have arrived there. It's God that will tell him. He cannot get to a place and settle down. That's why he says he was a pilgrim and a stranger. Seeking for that city. God keeps leading him. Leading him. Leading him. Leading him. And he got to the spot where that city will land. And he met Melchizedek, the builder of that city. And that one gave him wine, and he paid tithe of all the spoil he got from the battle, from rescuing Lot. And Melchizedek blessed him. That very spot, God led him there, was looking for that. And that was where he settled. No wonder the prophet said that the land that Abraham bought, Machpelah, that he bought it by inspiration. Because it was there at Palestine that resurrection would take place. And you will see all the prophets were always referring to that place. The very place that Abraham bought. The prophet says that was where resurrection was going to take place. Every one of them. Of course, that did not mean that all who died in the wilderness, you know, being in the will of God, will not resurrect the world. But you remember Jesus Christ was buried in Jerusalem, and that was where all the saints that were buried in Palestine at his resurrection. We read that the graves of the saints were opened. That was where resurrection took place. And the type of faith is that it is in Christ that resurrection will take place. If we are in Christ, they that are in him, we come up with him. Amen. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive on an inheritance, obeyed. Because it was by faith, he obeyed. We will not obey if it is not by faith. Our disobedience, our stubbornness, our arrogance, our non-responsiveness to the call of God to serve him in holiness, in righteousness, in purity, in a surrendered life is because we like this revelation. It's because we like it. By faith, he obeyed. He obeyed by faith. And faith, the prophet says, is a revelation. A revelation is the will of God made known to you. What God wants you to do, what God wants done, he reveals it to you. What God wanted Abraham to do, he revealed it to him. He leave your father's place and go to a place. It was not written in a paper for Abraham to read. Divine communication between God and Abraham. That his father did not have access to. That Lord did not have access to. But Sarah was part of that. In God's own economy. He obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. This will be a foolish man into the people of the world. How can you be going to a place you don't know? After all, you are going somewhere, you must have a map of where you are going, the direction of where you are going. He did it. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sun which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. How did they see it? Was the city on the face of the earth physically for them to see? Abraham got to that city, to that spot. For you to know that that city was not here yet. Abraham got to the spot where that city would land. He was there. He met Melchizedek there. And at the end of the day, they parted and still walk around other places. How did they see it? By faith. They all died in faith, having not received the promise, but having seen them afar, the promise of the first city, the promise, other promises of God that pertain to God's elect, they saw them afar. And by revelation, it became real to them. And that was Abraham was looking for that city. Where is that city? From one place to another. Where is that city? He was looking for it. Because he saw it. So when Abraham at the end of the day will be in that city, it won't be strange to him because he has seen it before. He will say, yes, this is the city that I saw. And the same revelation must strike us too. The same revelation must strike us. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, of the promises, that they were true. And embrace them, the embrace the promises. Only by faith can we do that. Only by faith can we be persuaded. Only by faith can we be convinced. And after being convinced, then we became concerned. We can never be concerned if we are not convinced. And we can't be convinced without being revealed, without revelation given us. And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These people, who are the promises? These all that God gave the promise, the heroes of faith that we have in Hebrews here, they all died having not received the promise. The first class city and the glories and the blessings, they did not see the physical coming of Jesus Christ. And that was why Simeon was told by the Spirit that you will not see that until you have seen the Lord's Christ. And he was challenged by the people of his days that you, this old man, you are talking out of your head. There are many people who expected the Messiah to come, and you are saying you will not see that. You, that you are very close to the grave. Abraham said he had the right to expect it because God told him. When God speaks, he doesn't fail. Where people claim that God spoke 10 things and 9 comes to pass, there's a question mark there. When people claim that God spoke out of 10 times and 9 times it came to pass, and one time it didn't come to pass, there is a question mark there. Oh, are you saying after all, 9 out of 10 is a great mark? It's more than excellent, isn't it? Is that not what we are going to say? 9 over 10, if you put it in all these YK standard, that's is A1 will start, is that not with asterisks? But in God's economy, is zero. It's zero. God's economy will do any back. Because that one, that very minus is what has polluted the whole thing. A little levels the whole lot. After all, it's only one word that he disbelieved that brought death unto human race. It is only by faith that we can catch these glories that we have been told here. So it takes revelation. These people that we are talking about in the book of Hebrews live their lives and they are gone. And they are, Jesus Christ came and he took them home when they resurrected. They are also coming down by the time the city is here to come and dwell in that city with us. This is our time. This same word that we are hearing is the same way God told Abraham. Are you following me? But remember, in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that the gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us. He said, but they that had it, their faith did not mix with it, so it didn't profit them. The only way what we are hearing every moment can profit us is for divine faith of God to mix with it. And when that happens, we cannot look back anymore. Then we'll be able to say, like Paul says in Hebrews, in Romans chapter 8, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Shall death, shall tribulation, shall sorrow, affliction, hunger, whatever, will not be able to separate us from the love of God. This thing we are talking about, they are not stories, they are the realities of God. Our people have gone before, they have seen it. May the Lord be our help. By God's grace, we continue next week. God bless you.
Bless the Lord, we thank you again this morning for sparing our lives to see the beginning of another week. We cannot but appreciate you so much for the week that ended yesterday. Are going out and coming in, all that we look unto you for, and you were gracious unto each and every one of us. Your protection that we enjoy, daily provision of our needs, Lord, we are very grateful unto you. Thank you for the services of the week. Thank you for the blessings that are coming in the same. The prophet said, the older Christian among us, if you ask him what is his high desire, he will say a closer walk with God, more of God. And that is why we have come. Lord, as many as we are, Lord, our needs differ from person to person. Whatsoever those needs are, thou knowest, O God. And we are the only one that can supply all our needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We are asking, O God, that your word that we have heard, Lord, may be a blessing to us. Whatever needs that have arisen as a result of what we have heard, may you meet them in our lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Those looking unto you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, may you fill them, Lord. Those already filled, may you refill them, Lord. The sick and the afflicted, Lord, you are the Lord our God that healed all our diseases. We put our confidence in you and in you alone. And we know every man can fail, anybody can fail, but you cannot fail. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Strengthen our faith, O God. Thank you, our Master. Where the enemy, whichever way, comes in like a flood, may thou be their heavenly Father. May your spirit to raise his standard against the enemy. Thank you, Father. Keep us in victory at all times, for your glory and for your honor. Bless your servant that to have you replenish it for the virtue that has left it. The services ahead of him, may you once again pass through it to be a blessing to your people, as we are in expectation for the rest of the services here, morning stroke, afternoon stroke, evening, for more of your blessings. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Amen.